Welcome, everybody, to Grace Community Church Wednesday night service. I'm glad you're here if you're here in person, and glad you're watching if you're watching online. If this is your first time watching, my name is Wade, and we're glad you're tuning in with us. Let me go ahead and pray for us, and we'll get right into tonight's message. Father, thank you for this opportunity to get up here and share what you've laid on my heart, Lord. I pray that you would just move me aside with my opinions and my ideas, Lord, and I just pray that everything is said comes straight from you and out of your word. And Lord, I just pray for all those that can't be here tonight because they're sick or some other reason. I pray that you'd meet them right where they are, Lord, and just help them to know that you see them and that they're not invisible. I pray that you'll be with everybody outside, Lord, that's working hard on the garden right now. I just pray that you'd give them the strength and the wisdom that they need. And we'll just give you all the honor and the praise for all this. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know exactly where all we're going to go this week. God kept changing my message on me while I was preparing it. So we'll just see where he takes us on it. If you've been here for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about preparing. You know, 2 weeks ago, we talked about how we can prepare for our future here on earth. And last week, we talked about getting prepared for our next life, our eternal life. You know, whether Jesus comes back or if we die before he comes back. So we prepare here on earth so we're not struggling later in life on our finances or in our health or in our relationships. You know, how we can change things, or not just change things, or how we could start doing things now that would benefit us later in life. You know, develop some good habits and let God help us get rid of some of the bad habits or the useless habits that we have. Changes are, for me, and I think for everybody, changes are hard to make, especially if you wait until later in life to make them, like I did. You know, I've told y'all before, I was in my mid-40s before I even decided to change anything. And at that point, you're so set in your ways that change just don't come easy. And most of the time, it's things that we know we need to change, but we don't really want to change. And, you know, things that we know we're going to have to do eventually, but we just keep putting them off and not doing them right away. We just keep putting them off and ignoring them. And I learned the hard way, and I believe most of us do learn the hard way, that if God reveals something to you that you need to change, it's a whole lot easier to just go ahead and say, yes, Lord, and do it right then. You know, the longer we wait, the harder the change is going to be. And the longer we wait, like I just said a minute ago, the more we get set in our ways, and it just makes it even more difficult to change. A good example of that, or I think it is like mowing your yard. If you see on Monday that your yard needs mowed and you just keep putting it off, making excuses or doing other things, and you just don't do it, and you do that for a couple of weeks and let time go by, then now you got a real problem. You know, you probably have to hire somebody to come in and bush hog your yard instead of just trying to mow it with a lawnmower. So the more we put things off, the bigger and the more difficult they become. You know, when you could have just mowed your yard Monday when you noticed that it needed to be done. Not just mowing your yard, you know, dishes are a good example. You know, if you just have a couple of dishes after supper, it don't take but a second to do them, and then you're done with it, and you don't have a mess. But if you let it go for a couple of weeks, then you got a whole big pile of dirty dishes in your kitchen, and it becomes a way harder task. Or laundry, or any of those things, you know, that you can think about that you do around the house, they're just so much easier to do if we just get them before they pile up. And I know that those are funny things, but they're a good example of how things pile up and get unmanageable if we just keep putting them off. instead of doing them right away when God reveals them to us. Things are a whole lot easier. You know, if we wait until we get sick to make better health choices, it's going to be a whole lot harder to get back where we need to be than it would have been to make the changes before we got to where we are now. Or it's a whole lot easier to make a budget and start planning now than it will be to try and climb out of a huge financial hole that we get ourselves into later. You know, if we make choices before they become a problem, it's always a whole lot easier for us. And if we don't make the choice to resolve the little differences in our relationships between us now and take responsibility for our own actions now and be willing to work things out, then, you know, the longer we let those things go, then later on we're going to be full of resentment and bitterness, and we'll be living a lonely, angry life wishing that we would have. You know, we'll wind up with those future regrets instead of doing the small things that we could do now. If we let them pile up, we'll have big regrets later. And we'll be missing out on the relationships that we could have had. I guess the point that I'm trying to make is, if you see the need for a change, just trust God and go ahead and make the change. You know, stop putting it off. It's only going to get harder to do the longer you wait. You know, I remember when I think I was 45 when I finally made up my mind, I'm going to have to do something about my taxes. And I didn't do anything about them until last year. You know, I waited an extra 6 years when I could have went and did them when I was 45, and it would have been a whole lot easier and a whole lot cheaper. But the longer I put it off, the harder it became. So when God reveals something to us and puts it on our hearts, I think we should do it right then and not put it off. And it'll always be easier to do it sooner than later. And like I said, change is hard. And it's most times it's always painful too. And a lot of times, like we said a minute ago, it's not something that we even want to change, but it's something that we see that we need to change. You know, I don't know who that was for, but, you know, that wasn't even part of the message this week. You know, that's stuff we talked about 2 weeks ago. But I think that speaks to a lot of us. You know, we see the need for change, and we know what we need to do, and we just ignore it, or we keep putting it off for whatever reason. You know, everybody has different reasons. Mine won't be the same as yours, but for whatever the reason is, we just keep putting it off until it becomes unmanageable, and then it looks like it's impossible to us. You know, we don't even see how we can get it done. So now once it starts looking impossible to us, we don't even try to change. There's a good example of that in Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 34. That's what I think is the idea that Solomon is trying to get to us here. He said, "I walked by the field of a lazy person, the vineyard of one with no common sense. And I saw that it was overgrown with nettles. It was covered with weeds, and its walls were broken down. Then as I looked and thought about it, I learned this lesson. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit, and scarcity will attack you like an armed robber." You know, I think what he's saying there is, if we don't do the things that God brings to our attention, and we just keep ignoring them and putting them off, then eventually those things in our lives will crumble around us, just like that vineyard in the story there. You know, we'll get overgrown with vines, whatever your vines are. You know, life requires maintenance. We've been talking about that the last couple of weeks too. It takes that daily self-examination, not so that we can find flaws in ourselves. You know, if that's all we did was try to find flaws in ourselves, we'd all be walking around depressed, because we all have flaws, and we see them better than anybody else does. So that's not what he wants us to do. He don't want us to just do a self-examination so we can find flaws in ourselves, but so we can make sure that we're heading in the right direction, you know, getting in God's Word every day. And not just so much for learning, but so that we can compare ourselves, not compare everybody else, but do a self-examination so we can, and get in God's Word so we can compare ourselves to it. And, you know, ask ourselves the questions, you know, am I doing that? Or do I need to start doing that? David says in Psalm 119 in verse 105 that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, if we aren't in God's word every day getting input from God, then we're still getting input from somewhere. But if we're in God's word every day, you know, like it says here, his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And if we're not getting input from God, then we're getting it from somewhere. The world is full of input. So if we're not getting our input from God, we're getting it from other things in our lives, like our work, our problems. You know, if you've got a lot of problems and you're not getting in God's word, then all your attention and all your focus is going to be on your problems. And that's nothing but negative input. And you will wind up getting depressed. And you'll start drifting. Whatever you focus on, you're going to drift in that direction. And you'll wander off the path that you need to be on. When life starts getting overwhelming, one of my favorite verses for that is Psalm 46 and verse 10. Just stop. Everybody has 2 minutes. It only takes 2 seconds or 2 minutes to stop and read that verse. It just says, be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. You know, when life gets too fast, or if it gets overwhelming, we need to do that. You know, we need to just stop and take a breath and just be still for a second and realize that God is still there. And when I do that, I always go all the way back to the first of Psalm 46 and verses 1 and 2. And it reminds me that God is my refuge. And he is my strength. And he's always there. He's a very present help in time of trouble. And even if I feel like my world is crumbling around me, when I read those verses, you know, I realize that God is not overwhelmed. You know, he don't freak out like I do. He don't get anxious like I do. You know, he's still on his throne and he's still on my side. God is on my side. He is good to me. He is my refuge, it says. He is my protector. And he's there to guide me and help me if I'll let him. But if we don't take that second when we get that feeling of anxiousness or being overwhelmed to just stop and ask God for help and just keep going, that's how we wind up feeling like things are unmanageable, because we'll start thinking, I have to take care of this by myself. And we don't have to. We have a God that helps us do these things. So we can't just get up and go. We have to stop every day and take the time and look and say, where am I going? You know, we have to have a direction. We don't just get up in the morning and take off. We have to have a direction. And we have to ask ourselves, you know, first figure out, what am I fixing to do? And then ask yourself, am I going in the right direction? And, you know, a lot of us, we think we have to do everything really fast. But it really don't matter how fast you're going. If you're going 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction, that's not a good thing. You know, you'll wind up somewhere you didn't even intend to be before you realize what's happening. And you wonder, how did I end up here? Proverbs chapter 4, verses 26 and 27, it says to ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left, and remove your foot from evil. So that tells us, or that's what it tells me, is to take a minute, you know, in your morning devotion before you start your day and think about what you're doing. Establish a path. You know, it says to ponder the path of your feet. Establish a path and set some guidelines for the day, and then go. You don't just take up and go. Make a plan, set some guidelines, establish a path, and then go about your day. And the most important part once you make a plan and you have that, your guidelines for the day and the path that you know you need to go, stick with it. You know, I think we all, just like everybody gets on a diet after New Year's, but we don't ever stick with it. Once we make our plan for the day and we know how to do these things the way that God has showed us to do them, stick with them, you know, no matter once the day, what the day brings. You know, once the day starts, it's real easy to get sidetracked. Even after we've marked the path for ourselves. There's a show I've been watching a little bit at home. It's on Right Now Media. If you don't have that account, I would encourage you to get it. There's a lot of Christian shows you can watch on there. But this one, it's an animated version. It's kind of a children's program. It's an animated version of Pilgrim's Progress. And it was made for children, but I think you can learn a lot by watching, you know, educational children's programs. And there's absolutely nothing else on TV worth watching. But anyhow, in the story, Pilgrim is trying to stay on the narrow path that leads him to the light. But he keeps getting sidetracked by things that get him off the path. And I think we're a lot like that. He thinks he's going the right way and he's following the right things, but even the things that he thinks are good for him are getting him off the path. And he keeps winding up getting in trouble. And I think we do that a lot. I think we have good intentions starting out and we're focused and we know where we're going, but along the way we start running into things, not necessarily bad things, but if we follow anything that leads us away from God, it'll get us off the path we're supposed to be on. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, "There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." You know, like I said, even good things that we think are good, if they're going to get us off the path that we need to be on, they're not good things for us. You know, if my promotion is going to keep me from going to church because of my new schedule, then that's not really a good thing. You know, it don't do you any good to make more money if you're not going to follow God. You know, that new money just gives you the ability to do more things that you shouldn't be doing. You know, I see a pattern all the time, almost without fail. I've seen it a lot in the last year. You know, when somebody gets serious about their relationship with God and they start trying to do the right thing, they start getting involved in church, almost without fail, the distractions come immediately. And I can't count the people within the last year that once they started working on their relationship with God, the very next week they got a promotion or they got a better job. And it's always, without fail, their new schedule conflicts with the classes they started going to, with the meetings they've been going to, and with church on Sunday. And there's people that I know that are not here right now because their new jobs and their new schedule. So those things that look like good things, if they're going to lead you away from God, they are not good things. You know, Satan is crafty, and he's not going to use something ugly to get you away from God. You know, he's not going to use something that you can recognize that if I do this, this is going to destroy me. You know, he's smarter than that. He's going to lure you away from God with something shiny that looks good to you, and you think it's going to make life so much better. And a lot of times we'll even say, well, this is an answer to prayer. You know, if answers to prayer do not lead you away from God, and just because something looks good, you know, look how it's going to, you got to look ahead and see, where is this going to take me if I make this decision or if I make this change? See where it's going to take you. And if that's going to get you off your path that you need to be on, then that's probably not a good choice. And the enemy is patient. He don't have to destroy you overnight. He just has to get you going in the wrong direction and get you off the path that you need to be on. And once he gets you away from God, the world will take care of the rest. You know, you'll start doing so well at your new job or with these worldly things that you won't need, you won't see the need for spiritual help anymore. You think you're self-sufficient and you won't need God's help anymore. And when we get to that point, it's too late and you wind up tangled up like that vineyard we read about in Proverbs 24 and verse 31 a while ago. So it's important. We have to slow down and take a look at where we are now. You know, stop and say, this is where I am. And then say, which direction do I need to go from here? Every day we need to start with a purpose, with a direction in mind, and not just going blindly and see what the day brings. You know, that I know a lot of people, I ask them, what are you doing? And they're like, I don't know. We'll just see what the day brings. You know, you have to have a purpose in your day. And I'm not saying you have to have what you're doing planned out every day, but how you're going to do it, you need to have a plan for that. You know, I'm not talking about, when I say you need direction for your day, I'm not talking about north and south and east and west or what I'm doing today, but I'm talking about spiritual direction. You know, no matter what the day brings, I want to have on my armor and be ready for it. In Ephesians chapter 6 is where it talks about the armor of God in verses 13 through 17. It says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I won't read through the whole armor, but that's where it's at if you want to look it up for yourself. It's in Ephesians 6, verses 13 through 17. Can you get that verse up there in NLT, Travis? 6:13. I love what Paul says in that verse 13. Even if you do wind up in an evil day, like it says in that verse, if you have a hard day and you have your armor on, you know, even if you can't advance that day, even if you can't go forward that day, you can stand. You won't get knocked off of your feet. You won't get knocked off your path. That's why he says, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. If you purpose in your heart before you leave the house, whatever I come up against today, I'm going to do my very best to do it in a godly way. I'm not going to jump to conclusions or use my own understanding. I'm going to take it to God and see what I need to do about it. And when we do that, it says, after the battle, you'll still be standing firm. You won't get knocked off your path. You know, we talked about how Satan will tempt you with that perfect job opportunity, and he does. But the other thing I see a whole lot of, and I've seen a lot of that in the last couple of years too, and he uses it just as often. And it's just as effective in dragging somebody off the path that they need to be on. And that's like, just like you think that was a perfect job, the other thing is the perfect person, you know, almost without fail too. Every time I see somebody, usually people that are coming out of an addiction or an abusive lifestyle or an abusive relationship, you know, they're really doing good and they're seeking God and they're doing great until they meet that perfect girl, or they meet that perfect guy. And then they just stop dead in their tracks. They come to a complete halt. And I've seen this over and over. And they stop talking about God, and they just, all they can talk about is that perfect person that they ran into. They put God on the back burner and they stop seeking him, and their whole focus is shifted to that other person. You know, they're seeking them instead of seeking God. And just like that better job and the bigger paycheck, you know, Satan gives them fantasies about a beautiful future with that perfect person where everything is going to be just the way it should be. When in reality, they wind up seeking each other instead of God. And most of the time, then they both wind up back in their addictions or back in that abusive lifestyle. And both of them wind up worse off than they were before. And now he's got them both. And all he had to do was introduce them to each other. You know, like I said earlier, he's not going to lure you away with something that you can recognize that is going to destroy you. It'll always be that pretty shiny thing or that perfect person that in the end does lead you off your path and back into destruction. Like I told you earlier, none of this was in my message for tonight. And I guess this is the message for tonight. And I pray that you'll not only hear it, but I pray that it wakes you up to it and that it might be for you or for me. You know, every one of us needs to be aware every day that opportunities are going to arise to either lead us towards God or away from Him. You know, the Bible is full of demonstrations of how ungodly relationships can lead us away from God. The whole chapter of Proverbs chapter 7, it tells this story. I won't read the whole chapter, but it tells a story of how a young man gets led astray by a woman who promises him all these things that he knows are ungodly, but she just keeps after him and pursuing him and keeps after him, and you know, she don't let up on him. And then he winds up giving in to her. And in verse 27, at the end of the story, it says, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. And, you know, that could go both ways. The story is about a young man being seduced by a woman, but we see it happen a lot of times too, where it's a young man seducing a young woman and leading them in the wrong direction. You know, if Mr. Wright or Mrs. Wright, if they're not seeking God, especially if you're a new believer or if you're trying to overcome an addiction or coming out of a bad relationship or just recovering after losing somebody, you know, Satan always hits you when you're weak. And if you're going through a really hard time in your life, then be careful who you meet because they may not be from God. Paul warns the church in Corinth about that. You know, their lifestyle was very ungodly, and he's warning all the new believers that are coming to Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 16. He tells them, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. You know, how can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? Or how can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? And how can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And I'm not talking about married couples at all. You know, we talked a few weeks ago about how if you're married, you need to stay with your husband or you need to stay with your wife and be the godly example that they need. And Paul even said, you know, how do you know if you have an unbelieving wife, through your faith in Christ, you might lead her to Christ? Or if you have an unbelieving husband and you're a good example and you follow Christ, then you may be the example they need to get to Christ. I'm talking about single people that are, you know, struggling with their relationship with God already and just starting a relationship with God. Or, like I said, just coming out of a hard lifestyle, the last thing you need is a relationship that's going to distract you and get your focus off of God where it needs to be. You know, last week we read Matthew 6:33. You know, if we just keep our focus on God, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all those other things God's going to give to you. So we need to focus on God and seek God, get your relationship with Him secured. Then He will give you all the other stuff, you know, that you desire to have. That will come later. You know, we read last week too that you're not missing out on anything. It may be delayed just a little while because God knows you're not ready for it yet. And if you get it too soon, that could be the one thing that drags you down. And it is the one thing that drags a lot of people down. We see it all the time. But don't get into the mindset or believe the lie that the enemy tells you that you're going to miss out if you don't grab it right now. You know, we also read last week in Psalm 84 and verse 11 that God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and He promises no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. So God's not withholding anything good from you. just keep seeking him first, and you know, do your best to walk uprightly and stay on your path, and he'll bring those things. He'll bring the people in your life that you need in your life, and he'll bring them to your path. You won't have to leave your path to go be with them. If they're from God, you can stay on your path, and he'll bring them to you right where you are. You don't have to wander away to find them. I want to share this with you. I know a lot of people think I use a whole lot of Proverbs in my sermons. Well, I do use a whole lot of Proverbs in my sermons. But the reason I do that is because we all live daily lives. You know, that's how we do life. We can't make a decision 10 years ago and live the rest of our life off that decision. You know, we live from day to day. You know, we don't make a decision, then the rest of our lives are taken care of. You know, I said earlier, life requires maintenance. It takes daily maintenance. It takes reflection. You know, it takes confession. It takes honesty. It takes repentance. It takes guidance. It takes healing. All of those things are necessary for us every day, because life happens every day. We'll have problems. You know, Jesus himself even said, there's enough today, or enough evil in today. You know, don't worry about tomorrow. Today's got its own problems. So we have to do life one day at a time. So I want to read to you in Proverbs chapter 1. It describes itself to you. You know why it's important. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, it says, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, the king of Israel. And their purpose, this is Solomon describing the purpose of this book. It says, their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline and to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. And let those with understanding receive guidance. By exploring the meaning in these proverbs and the parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Number 7 says, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. If you'll go back through those, you know, it's everything that we need every day. He talks about guidance and wisdom and how to choose from right and wrong and, you know, which path to take. That's why I use so many proverbs, because they are a tool for day-to-day living, and that's how we do life, is day-to-day. You know, there's nothing I can get up here and tell you, if you'll do this, it'll take care of the rest of your life. But we can deal with life day-to-day. The only thing I can tell you that's going to help you the rest of your life is to surrender your life to Christ, and then he will lead you. You know, we should read the whole Word of God. I'm not saying just read Proverbs. We need to read the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of Paul and all the other teachings. Those are what we should base our lives on. But Proverbs tells us how to do that every day. It gives us simple, you know, little one-verse illustrations that we can actually apply to our life that help us live life day to day. And the more we read them, the more they get ingrained in us. And then we'll start living that way. I'll just give you two quick examples of short ones that will help you tremendously. And they're real simple. They're easy to do. Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25. It says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man you shouldn't go, lest you learn his ways and get a snare to your soul. I mean, that's, anybody can understand that. Don't hang around with angry people, and don't go with them, or you're going to become like them. You know, that's easy. now when you see, if you've got that in you, if you've got that in your soul, if you read that and you understand it, and then when you get around somebody and they're just raging and going off, you'll be like, well, that's not something I need to be a part of. And you'll spare yourself from getting involved in that. Or Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20, that's a really good one. That'd save you out of a whole lot of trouble. It says, where no wood is, there the fire goes out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. He's talking about gossip. If somebody's telling you gossip, just tell them you don't want to hear it. You know, if you don't put no more wood on the fire, if you don't spread it, then it's going to stop. Gossip only carries on when people spread it. You know, it's like a virus. You tell one person, they tell somebody else, they tell somebody else. But if you don't repeat it, then it stops right there with you. There's just simple stuff like that all through Proverbs that if you apply it to your life, you can cut way down on the problems in your life, and you won't be the problem in somebody else's life. It's just day-to-day wisdom that he gives us that we can actually apply in our lives day-to-day. And I know y'all heard me say, you know, if you read a proverb a day, if you're not doing that yet, I'd encourage you to read a proverb a day. You know, whatever the date is today, like today's the 8th, then, you know, read Proverbs chapter 8. They're short chapters. It only takes just a few minutes to read them. But that gives you the tools that you may need that day to get through the day. And it really does help you. It helps you to live a more godly life on a day-to-day basis. Like Josh was saying Sunday, you know, we have to ask ourselves when we're reading the Bible, what does it say? You know, what does it mean? Where else can I find it in the Bible and see what the two say about each other? And then the last one was, how can I apply it to my life? And Proverbs, for me, and I think for anybody, is very easy to apply to your life. You know, he breaks it down to where it's real simple. I need to do this. I don't need to do this. I should do this. I shouldn't do that. You know, I need to hang around these people. I don't need to hang around these people. You know, it says all the way through there. You know, don't. If you hang around, if you want to become wise, hang out with wise people. You know, don't hang around fools or you'll become like fools. You know, don't hang around with immoral women. Or if you're a woman, don't hang around with immoral men, because you'll wind up somewhere you don't want to be. But that's why I use so many proverbs, because they're simple and easy to use wisdom that'll help you stay on the path that you need to be on and keep you from getting off your path and following something that you shouldn't. I want to share these verses with you too. We went over these last night, or DJ went over them last night. In Hebrews chapter 12, he went through more than this, but I'm just going to go through 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it says, wherefore seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, we'll kind of break that down a little bit. If God is revealing things that you need to change, let those two verses there help you and encourage you. You know, if you're on your path and in the body of Christ where you should be, if you're in fellowship with other believers like you should be, then that should encourage you. You know, it says we're encompassed round about by all this crowd of witnesses there in verse 1. And you're surrounded by like-minded believers that'll help you lay aside those weights that it talks about, or help you make the changes that God is telling you need to make. You don't have to do it all by yourself. So we can find comfort in that. I don't have to go these things alone. If I stay on my path, if I stay connected where I need to be with my body of believers that I belong to, then I'm going to be surrounded with help. And they will help me get over these things that do easily beset us. And in verse 2, you know, we can do like Jesus did. And he looked beyond the cross. You know, it says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So he looked beyond the cross and he saw the reward. And that's what helped him through that. And we can do the same thing. We can look at our life after we make the changes, because God don't ever ask us to change things and just go out blind. You'll know why you need to make the change. He'll give you a vision of what life can look like once I do this. And so if we focus on the reward of what this is going to be like after I do this, then it'll give us the courage to make the changes we need to. You know, like I said, none of this was what I had for my message tonight, but I know it was for somebody, and I hope it gives you the courage and the direction to move forward and to make those changes that you need to make. And hopefully next week, if God lets me, I'll share with you the message I had for tonight. I'm looking forward to it. I think y'all will enjoy it. I'll tell you a little bit about it. I know everybody probably remembers the WWJD thing where everybody was wearing the bracelets. You know, what would Jesus do? Almost everybody had one of those bracelets or the shirts or what else. But it kind of goes along with that, except I changed it a little bit. You know, I want to talk about WDJD. You know, first it'd be, what did Jesus do? You know, what has he already done for us? And then there's WIJD, you know, what is Jesus doing now? And then we go forward and we'll talk about what will Jesus do? I mean, that's still WWJD, but it's a different word. So we got those three, and then the last one will be about us. And then we'll talk about, since Jesus has already done all these things and he's doing this now and he's going to do this then, we'll have WWYD. You know, what are you going to do? Because of what he's already done, and because of what he's doing now, and because of what he's going to do in the future. I'm looking forward to that message next week. I hope you're here to hear it. You know, last week we talked about preparing for eternity, and I believe next week's message is going to go right along with that. You know, what will you do while you're still here? And again, that was a whole new message tonight. That wasn't what I had planned, but I hope tonight's message gave somebody clarity on which direction you're going and which direction you need to go. And I hope it gave you the courage to make the changes you need to make, you know, to stay on your path. Maybe you're facing something that, if I do this, I know it's going to drag me away from church, but I think it's a good idea. You know, think it through. Pray about it. Ask God what he thinks about it, and he will answer you. You know, if you still don't have peace with it, get with somebody that you trust at the church, somebody that you would take some advice from, and ask for help with your problems, and God will get you the answer. But that's all I've got for tonight. Like I said, next week, I've already got that message, but we'll see what happens. If God lets me share it next week, that's what we'll have. If not, then I'll talk about whatever God gives me next week. But thank y'all for coming out. And thank you for tuning in online. If you're watching online, let me go ahead and pray for us, and we will be dismissed. Father, I just thank you for helping me to get up here and preach what you laid on my heart tonight, God. I know it wasn't a message I had planned, but I know it's what you had planned. And Father, I just pray that I know your word says that your word does not return void, in it. It does accomplish the thing you sent it forth to do. I just pray whoever it was sent forth to, God, that you would open their heart and their mind to receive it. And I pray that you give them the courage, Lord, to let it allow you to change the things in their life that need to be changed. And I pray that you give them the courage to start the things in their life that they need to start, Father. And Lord, let us pray that in all these things that your name would be glorified. And we do give you honor, the praise, and the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.